pray before I start. Father, I just pray that you would be with us tonight, and I just pray that your Spirit would work in each one of our hearts to make us into the person that we ought to be. And I pray that you would truly give us the life more abundant, like you said you came to give. Amen. I just want to talk about hope tonight. And I guess the opposite of hope is just hopeless. You don't have anything to look forward to. You don't, like, you've, something inside of you has died. And you don't feel like there's any point to go on. You don't feel like you have anything to live for. It's hopelessness. And usually it's because something happened in your past that just bothers you. Something that hurts all the time that you never forget about. And wherever you go and whatever you're doing, there's something in the back of your mind that's telling you about something that happened, and everything reminds you of it, and you're hurting. And I want to tell a story about a girl that was in Utah, and she was pretty athletic, she was pretty strong, and she would go running fairly often, I think. And this one day in December, she decided to do like a 2-hour run, and she was running in like a canyon type thing where there wasn't really trails, but she knew the place because she had run up there a lot. And she took her dog and a bottle of water and just went out the door with a light jacket, and she's running for some time. And she suddenly, and she's like running right on the edge, kind of, on the edge of it, and down below it just drops off. And she slipped, or the rock underneath her slipped, and she started falling, just down. She wasn't off the edge yet, but she was going down, and she couldn't stop. There was nothing to hang on to. There was no way to catch herself. And she fell over the edge. And about 20 feet below, she hit the bottom. And when she hit, all the bones that connect top and bottom shattered. And she was laying there when she kind of came to herself. She started to feel her legs, and she's like, well, I'm not paralyzed because I can feel myself. She tried to stand up, and she could not support her own weight. And so she's trying to think, what can I do to survive? Like, how can I get out of here? And she can't walk, she can't crawl, she can't use her legs at all, or the bottom half of her she can't use. She got on her stomach and started pulling herself by her arms. Well, her dog had been running ahead of her when she fell, so he wasn't with her anymore. And after a while, he came down to her. So she was like, I know if he got down here, I can get out of here, because some of the places are just canyons where there's no safe way to get out. But she knew that if he got down there, she could, there was a safe way out. So she starts pulling herself on her arms, dragging herself out. I don't know how far she got the first day, but probably not too far. And she finally, it was dark, it was getting to be below freezing, and she couldn't go on anymore, and she stopped for the night. She realized that if she just laid there all night, she was going to freeze to death, because it was too cold to stay alive without moving. So she decided if she could keep some rhythm of movement going, she could keep herself alive. So she puts her hands under her neck and starts pulling her head up, like to do crunches, but she couldn't even hardly, she couldn't sit up at all. She could only barely move her shoulders off the ground. And she did it every 5 seconds the entire night. And when morning came, she thought she was just going to continue pulling herself out of this place. But she didn't realize that all the adrenaline was gone at that point, and she was hurting so bad she could hardly move. She dragged herself for a very short ways, and she just could not continue. And so she pretty much just laid there for the rest of that day. And she kept calling and calling for help. Nobody knew where she was. She lived by herself. Nobody knew that she was going on this run. But she kept calling for help and trying to think up ways of how she could get out. The second night came and it was just as cold, and she was very badly wounded. Plus she had had nothing to eat and only a little bit of water. And she did the same thing the second night, just crunches every 5 seconds, because she knew if she fell asleep, she would die. And she lived through the second night doing the same thing. And the third day, she could not basically move herself at all. And she kept feeling like her stomach right here was swelling up amazingly big, and she said it felt like a jelly roll. And she didn't quite know what it was, but in reality, she was bleeding to death internally, and she had at least 2 quarts of blood right here sitting. And by the time the third night was coming around, she got to the point where she realized she was going to die. She knew she wasn't going to live if somebody didn't find her, and nobody was finding her. And she got to the point, the hopeless point. There was nothing left. She knew she was going to die that night. And she was crying, and finally she realized her dog is her last possible hope. So she looks to her dog and she tells him, she said, "Taz, I need help. Go get me help." And he just looks at her and he took off running. And by this time, the people that knew her or her neighbors or whatever had realized that she was not at home and that there had been nothing going on at her house. And so they had notified the police, and a police had a sheriff had gone out there and looked in her house and said everything's left, just like everything's on, there's lights on, like, but nobody's there, and her truck is gone. So they immediately got together a search party, and when the guys came in that were part of the search party, the guy that was in charge says, we're going to look for a girl. And they say it happens quite a lot that they find people out there and they're almost always dead. And the one guy said, what was her name? He said, I know that girl. And he said to him, now it's not just we're going to look for somebody, but I actually know her. And so they got out there as quick as they, well, and he said, and I know where she goes running. Like, that's where we should check. And sure enough, her truck was there. But it's 20 miles of canyons and rocks and, like, where do they start? And it was nearing the third night, and there was heavy snow in the forecast. And they knew if they didn't find her that night, like, they thought she was probably already dead. But if they didn't find her that night, there would be no hope that she would be alive. So the one guy gets out his binoculars and he's scanning the whole scene. And he's like, what's that down there? And down in the bottom of the canyon, there's a dog running. And the one guy was like, oh no, like that means she's dead because my dog will never leave me if I'm alive. She's probably dead already. But the dog came up and he didn't stop like dogs usually do to get pet or whatever. He just barked at them and ran around in their midst and turned around and went right back. And one of the guys was already on like a little ATV and he was going looking. So they phoned him and were like, hey, the dog is coming your way. Like, maybe you should follow him. And he was like, dogs usually know what they're doing. I'm going to follow him. And so he's trying to keep up with this dog because he meant business. He was not fooling around. And the deeper they got in there, the more rugged it was. And he had to slow down on his ATV because he couldn't go that fast, but he was afraid he was going to lose the dog. Well, he kept going, and she's laying there crying. She doesn't know, like, she thinks that it's over. Like, her life has ended. She's going to die out there. And now it's even worse because she's going to die without her dog. But he came back. And she said he looked different when he got back. He didn't, like, he seemed more at peace. And he just came right up to her and was licking her or whatever. And then he starts drinking out of, she had found a little puddle of water, which was very dirty and gross and everything, but that was keeping her alive. He started drinking out of it, and she's like, Taz, I mean, that's my only source of water. Why are you drinking my water? But she didn't say anything to him because she just didn't have the heart. But she said he just seemed different. And then she heard something, and she was like, well, she had already been hallucinating and seeing things and hearing things because she had lost so much blood. And she was basically half dead, so she wasn't sure if she even heard it. But she kept hearing it, and then she was sure she heard something, and she screams at the top of her lungs, like, help me. And the guy heard her screaming, and he went right to her, and she was saved. They brought the helicopter right there, took her into surgery, She had lost 3 pints of blood in her midsection right here. And there was no way she would have lasted more than a couple hours, more than that, if they had not found her. She was in surgery for 6 hours. And the doctors, of course, said, "You'll never walk again." And she did walk again. And she ran again. But when I heard the story, I could not help but just... it was such a picture in my mind of what happens to us so many times emotionally when something happens to you that is a big deal. It's not just like a scraped knee or... it's not just a little thing that you get over, but it's a big thing that shakes your faith, something that makes you doubt everything you ever believed, something that stays with you all the time. It's like a shattered pelvis, and you're bleeding to death on the inside. And it's true that if you put up a good fight, you will last a couple days longer. But the reality is still you're going to die. If she had not done crunches that first night, she would have died the first night. She prolonged her life by 2 days because she put up a good fight. But she could never have put up a good enough fight to save her life. And if you have been wounded, you have to face it like it is. You're not going to make it. And you don't have any hope of surviving. But in Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now that sounds like hope. That's why he was sent. To heal the brokenhearted. But I know if you grew up in a Christian home, you've heard stuff like that all your life. And you probably have excuses and everything in your mind right now why it doesn't work. Or you're saying, "Well, he hasn't healed me." But, and maybe you actually even feel like God himself is the one that let you down. Like, the one that let you fall. And you're saying, "Well, then how, like, he's the one that destroyed me. How can he help me?" And maybe at this point you are so destroyed inside that you don't even know if you can trust him. Like, it's too scary to even trust him again because you already feel like he let you down. But we have to remember the verses that we read. That's why he was sent, to heal the brokenhearted. And we can't pretend to be a Christian if we're not going to actually believe what God says. You have to step out or step aside of your feelings and actually take the Bible for what it says. And usually, good, friendly people will try to help. And they will say, many times they'll say lots of very false things. And one of those things is time will heal it. You hear it constantly. And the plain fact is, it is not true. You have to think back to Danelle, the girl that went running. Like, how can time heal her? The only thing time had to offer her was death. There was no way she could have healed on her own. And if you have been wounded, time will not heal you. The only thing time can give you is death. You might not physically die, but emotionally or spiritually you will die if you just give it time. Scraped knees, little cuts, that stuff does heal with time. But a shattered pelvis, something that holds you together, will not heal with time. It cannot heal with time unless somebody puts it back together. And you might be at the place where you feel like there is no hope. But there is, and His name is Jesus. In John 10:9, it says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus says that he came to give life more abundant. It's not a life where you're laying on the ground the rest of your life, dragging yourself on your arms. It's a life where you are getting up again and running. It's like you have a choice before you. When you come to that place where you feel like there's no hope, there's nothing left to look forward to, there's nothing left that gives you hope, you have to make a choice at that point what you're going to do. And you have to make an all-out 100% commitment to God for your own survival. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word of God has to become your lifeline. Like, you're not going to make it without the word of God. Because when you're there, bleeding to death internally, Satan knows right where you are, and he's going to be there every single day whispering hateful, ugly, and nasty lies into your ears. And if you do not have something to stand on, you will not be able to answer his lies. If you don't have an absolute anchor that will not move, you're going to be tossed any and every direction that there is. And you have to make a commitment that you're going to do what's right. And you're going to stand on the Word of God and nothing else. Even though you don't understand, even if it feels like God Himself is the one that destroyed you, you have to believe His Word, even when everything that you can possibly see is going against what it says. Because if this is not true, why are you even a Christian? Like, you can't say, oh, I'm a Christian, but not believe that this is actually the truth. And if you can't stand on it 100%, it just doesn't really work to do it half or 50% or 80%. Because you're going to wash out when something happens that shakes your faith. There is another aspect of this where maybe it is someone that hurt you. Like, there might be somebody in your mind right now that you say, if they hadn't done such and such a thing, my life would be fine. But somebody did such and such a thing, and it's destroying me. And it might be true that somebody did something to you that they shouldn't have done. It might be true that somebody did something to you that could destroy you. But you have to make... But that's where your commitment is going to come in, where you're going to do what's right, regardless of what anyone else on the planet is doing or has done. And one of those things that Jesus told us to do was forgive. And if somebody did something to you that is unforgivable, like it was just too bad, you have a choice. Are you going to do what Jesus said or not? Like, if he says forgive, are you just going to forgive even if it was completely unfair? And most of the time, it is completely unfair. But if you can take yourself, if you can take your eyes off yourself and look at Jesus, how fair was it when he hung on the cross for you? It wasn't fair at all. But he did it anyway because he loved you. And you have to do something that's not fair at all just because you love him. And you have to stand on the Word of God and believe it. And God says that he's taking care of the other person that wronged you. It's not like he was out doing something else when somebody did something to you, but he saw it. And he knew exactly what they did, and he's keeping track of it. And you don't have to keep track of it yourself. You can let it go because the ultimate judge is keeping track, and he is going to make it right. And if you can't forgive somebody for what they did to you, you're holding a double standard, because you're saying, I can't forgive your wrong, but then if I do something wrong, I do want to be forgiven. But you can't be forgiven by God if you can't forgive, extend that same forgiveness to the people that wrong you. And unforgiveness is just like locking yourself up in prison, and you're just going to sit there until you rot and die. But Jesus actually came to give life, and he came to give you life. And one thing you have to do is look past the person that wronged you. Look past the thing that happened to you. And just ask God, where can I grow? What do I need to learn? Because if you can't just hold on to what someone has done for you forever. But you have to grow, because you are standing before God on your own. Like, nobody else is going to stand with you. And it's not going to matter what anyone else did when you're talking to God yourself. The only thing that matters is what you did. And you have to stand so solidly on the Word of God that you can go forward even when someone else has completely gone off their rocker. And I have my own testimony of how this happened to me that I'm going to share on Wednesday. I'm having a hard time not saying it right now. But you have to hold on to the Word of God as your only source of survival. There is nothing else that can get you through it. There is nothing else that can put life back into you. When you're broken inside, the pieces inside that are holding you together, and if they've been shattered, there is nothing on this earth that can put them back together but Jesus. And he said that's why he came. And so many times, it seems like we just struggle along, dragging ourselves on our arms, and we're dying. We're not living. But you have to surrender your entire self to him as the physician, so that he's going to go inside of you and he's going to work for 6 hours and put those pieces back together. And you have to trust that he is the physician, not you. Like, you don't know how to put yourself back together, or you already would have done it. But he does know how to put you back together, and he does know where you are. And he did see when those pieces fell apart. And I just can't stress enough how you have to put your whole life 100% into living for God, even when you do not see anything working out. Even when you are laying on the ground there, bleeding to death internally, you have to make a choice at that point that you're going to follow him no matter what. Because if you don't make the choice right there, when it's the hardest to make it, you probably never will make it. Psalm 142:3 says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." Like, it all looks like chaos to you. You can't make sense out of any of it. But God knows your path. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly where he wants you. But if you do not surrender to him, he can't really get you there. Because he's not really going to shove you down the road. He wants your willing submission. And nothing is going to get you there but faith. Nothing is going to get you there but the Word of God. You have to read it, and you have to actually believe that it means what it says, because it's going to tell you who God is and how much he loves you. It's going to tell you that he knows how many hairs are on your head. God that created you cannot know that much about you and not care if your life is completely destroyed. He came to give life abundant. And he will do it for you. But you have to keep trusting, even when it seems like he does not hear you and he doesn't know where you are. And even when there's nothing that makes sense, you have to trust that he knows where you are and that he can get you where you need to be. Because you're not going to make it if you don't have a solid anchor on the Word of God. You are going to be completely washed out. It has to be your lifeline, the thing that you hang on to, that you will never let go of. Because it's like you're out on the sea. And if you are holding on to a log, it's going to keep you from drowning. But if you let go of it, you're not going to make it. And that's how the Bible is. If we don't hang on to it fervently, constantly, we're going to be washed away. We're not going to be able to stand. And I guess On Wednesday, I'll tell you about how I made it or how I survived, so that you'll be able to understand it better, because I feel like I'm rambling right now. But I'm speaking from experience that it's the only way you can possibly survive is by holding on to the Word of God as though it's the last thing you're ever going to do. Because if you let go of it at all, or if you let anything else sway you, you're already off track. And when you are that broken, there's nothing and no one that is worth anything to you besides the great physician. Nobody else matters. Nothing else matters. Because nobody else can save your life. When you're dying, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters besides the doctor that can actually save you. And Jesus is the doctor that can save you. And He will save you. But you can't give up on Him when it seems like He's not doing the job. You have to still trust that He is doing the job, even when you can't see it. Or even when you don't feel like you're getting better, you have to still trust, because He said that He came to heal the brokenhearted and that He came to give life more abundant. And He says He knows where we are, and He's not playing around with us. He really means it. And you have to bank on it, like put your full weight on it. You can't just hang on to it a little bit because you're afraid. You have to actually step out in faith, even when you feel like you're going to fall. Because when you do fall, you're going to find out that He was under you the whole time. And I think my sisters are going to sing with me a song right now. Oh, wandering soul in darkness lost, deceived by devils and by men, by every wind of doctrine tossed, oh, wandering.
Christ and drink and live. The Father's arms are open wide, the Savior for your sins has died. The Spirit moves you deep inside. Oh, thirsty soul, come home. Oh, hungry soul, the feast is spread within the Father's house for all. In Jesus Christ is living bread. Refuse no more the Spirit's call. The Father's arms are open wide. The Savior for your sins has died. The Spirit moves you deep inside. Oh, hungry soul, come home. Oh, sinful soul, your sinning leave. Repent of all your filth and sin. To come in.